Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using a client channel definition table in WebSphere MQ version 7 for queue manager groups. Today's presenter is Angel Wasera. Angel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS clients of WebSphere MQ and WebSphere Application Server. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, MQ fans. Thank you very much for attending this presentation. My name is Angel Rivera, and I work with the WebSphere MQ Level 2 support team for Unix in the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina in the USA. I want to acknowledge T. Rob Wyatt for reviewing this presentation and for providing his valuable feedback. Thank you, T. Rob. Next page, please. Page 2, Agenda. I would like to start this presentation by exploring the different methods for an MQ client application to connect to a queue manager, locally and remotely. The use of the Client Channel Definition Table, CCDT, is only one of these methods. Then, I will describe the order of precedence of the connection methods. In particular, the CCDT is the one with the lowest precedence. The above two tasks will take the first 25 slides for this presentation, and then I will give a very detailed explanation of the CCDT, how it is created, altered, and how it is used. Finally, I will explore different scenarios with queue manager groups which use the CCDT. Next page, please. Slide 3, objective. The objective of this presentation is to describe in detail how a client application that is using the MQ interface in C or the WebSphere MQ classes for JMS version 7 exploits the connection to multiple queue managers by using an MQ Client Channel Definition Table, or CCDT. These queue managers are specified in a queue manager group. Next page, please. Slide 4, Problem Statement. Let's start by stating a typical problem. You have many MQ client applications in different hosts, and you want to connect these applications to different queue managers. Moreover, if one of those queue managers is not available, then you want the applications to try to connect to another queue manager which is available. This set of queue managers is called a queue manager group. You can have several of these groups, for example, one for test queue managers and another for production queue managers. Furthermore, you do not want to hard code the connection data, queue manager name, channel, port, in the application itself, and you want a flexible way to provide the connection data to the applications. Well, there are several ways to accomplish this objective. The CCDT is just one of them. Next page, please. Slide 5, reasons for using a queue manager group. I like to provide additional information during my presentations, and I like to use this type of slide. Notice that the title begins with nodes, and also the word nodes is on vertically on the left. In some cases, I will be describing the contents of these nodes, but most of the time I will skip them. You are welcome to read the whole text of these slides later on at your convenience. In this particular slide, we provide an excerpt from the MQ Information Center for the most likely reasons for using a queue manager group. Next page, please. Slide 6, precedence for connecting to a queue manager. This is the list of the methods available in MQ for an MQ client application to connect to an MQ queue manager. The order of this list is very important because it shows the order of precedence in which the methods are executed. For example, if method 1 is active, then the connection data available from that method will be used, and the connection data from the other methods will be ignored. If you want to use method 2, for example, then you have to inactivate method 1. In particular, for the CCDT, you will need to inactivate all the other methods because the CCDT is the last one in the precedence. Let's start with the list. The first one is pre-connect exit. It is a new feature introduced in MQ version 7.1, which was released late last year. The second is the MQCon API call inside the code for the client application. The third one is the MQ server environment variable. The fourth one is the MQ client configuration file, also called the MQClient.ini file. This is introduced in MQ 7.0. And finally, the last method is the CCDT file. The next 18 slides will cover the first four methods. Yes, I am dedicating a considerable amount of slides for these other methods because I want to convey to you the following. Not every connection situation requires a CCDT. Often we encounter customers who have smaller configurations and they spend a considerable amount of time and effort in trying to understand and implement a CCDT, but sometimes a simpler method may be sufficient for their needs. I hope that this presentation will give you a good idea of when to use the CCDT and when to use the other methods. Next page, please. Slide 7, pre-connect exit. This method was introduced in MQ 7.1. It's not confused with 7.0.1. This is 7.1. This method allows to store the client definitions in a global repository like an LDAP directory. If the pre-connect exit is enabled, then when a client application issues the MQCon API call, the exit, the pre-connect exit, is invoked and this exit consults the LDAP directory and returns the connection data to the MQCon API call. The MQ client code uses that connection data passed by the exit to contact the queue manager. If the exit is available, then it will be used, superseding all other methods. This is an advanced topic and is listed here for completeness. No further discussion in this presentation will be given except for the next slide. Let's go to the next one, please. Page 8, pre-connect exit. The following web page has more information on the pre-connect exit. I will skip this slide. Next page, please. Slide 9, MQCon API call. The second method is the MQCon call or MQConX extended call, which connects an application program to a queue manager. This call provides a queue manager connection handle, which the application uses on subsequent message queuing calls. If the name of the queue manager is hard-coded in the application that uses a client transport type, then it supersedes the other methods, which are MQ server, the MQ client.ini, and the CCDT. Next page, please. The MQCon API call, and this slide shows an excerpt of a sample C code from NQSBCG.c, which is used to browse messages from a queue. I am sorry. The slide says NQS.0.c, which is a sample for putting a message into the queue. I will be fixing this in the next edition of the presentation. The name of the queue manager is provided at runtime. I'm sorry, it's not shown in this slide, but it's, for example, NQSBCG, space Q1, that's the name of the queue, space QManager1. Then QManager1 is the queue manager that is passed at runtime to the application. And the key statements for this source code are the following. The first ones are, these are variables associated with the MQCon API call, such as the name of the queue manager, the connection handle, and the return code. Then the second set of statements is, they show the queue manager name is passed at runtime as the second parameter. And the last statement is the MQCon call is invoked with a queue manager name, and the return is in the HCon, which is the connection handle. This is the only time in the presentation that I'm showing source code, and the reason is I wanted to give you a better idea of how the MQCon API call is being used. Next page, please. Page 11. Let's introduce a simple scenario. There are two client applications, one for putting a message into a queue and another for getting a message. This is going to be shown in the next slide. The applications are located in the same host as the queue manager, host 1, and these applications can connect using a transport type of bindings. This means that local shared memory is going to be used for communication and that the network connection will not be used. Let's go to the next slide, please. The execution flow, page 12. The execution flow is as follows. Notice that all the players are located in the same host, host 1 in this case. On the left side, the sample MQS put is used to put a message into Q1, which resides in the queue manager 1, and the connection type is bindings. Again, shared memory, no network connection. Then in the middle, we have the queue manager, and the message is received by the queue manager and is stored in Q1. And finally, on the right side, we have the sample MQS get that is used to get a message from Q1, and the connection type is also bindings. Now, let's go to the next page, please, page 13, the MQ server environment variable. Okay. Now, let's build on the previous scenario in order to introduce the next connection method. Let's assume that the put client application still uses bindings. It's in the same host as the queue manager, but the get client application now is located in another host, host 2. Again, this is going to be shown in the next picture and in the slides in the next picture. And the question is, well, what configuration or artifact is needed for the get application to connect to the remote queue manager? Again, the queue manager is not located in the same host as the get application. The answer is, the simplest option is to use the MQ server environment variable. Note, if the MQ server is used, then it supersedes the methods of mqclient.ini and the ccdt. Please go to the next page, please. Page 14. The MQ server environment variable is used to define a minimal channel between a client and a server connection channel from the queue manager. The server connection is also called ServerCon, just for short. It specifies the location, the MQ server environment variable specifies the location and port of the queue manager and the communication method. In this case, we have two examples on how you can set up the variable. In Windows, you use the set command, then it's set space MQ server equals the channel name slash transport type slash connection name. For Unix and Linux systems, you need to use quotes because the parentheses is being interpreted by the shells, and then it will give you some problems. Then in Unix, you will say export space MQ server equals quote channel type slash transport type slash connection name, end of quote. Next page, please. Page 15. Now, let's have the diagram and let's explain what is going on here. On the left side, we have the same put application that uses a bindings connection to the queue manager to put a message into to Q1. So far, so good. On the right side, we have now a get application that resides in host 2. This application cannot use the connection type of bindings because the queue manager is in another host. The application needs to use the connection type of client, which is network, TCP/IP. Before executing the get application sample, it's called, let's use MQS get C, and I will explain a little bit about that. It is necessary to set the MQ server environment variable. For example, if the client is in Windows, this variable can be set from a Windows command prompt by using set MQ server equals servercon1 slash TCP slash host1 parentheses 1414 end of parentheses. Similar in Unix, you use the export command and you have to use the quotes. In these cases, the server connection channel name is servercon1. The transport type is TCP. And the queue manager name is not specified in the statement. Rather, the host and the port number are used. In this case, it's host 1 and the port number is 1414. Now, let's go to the middle of this diagram. When the MQS get C sample makes contact, issues the MQCon for host 1 at port 1414, The underlying MQ client code makes contact and specifies to the MQ listener that the server connection channel named ServerCon1 will be used. The MQ listener creates an instance of the server connection 1 channel, which will be exclusively dedicated for this client connection. Then, once the connection is established, the queue manager gets the message from the queue on the left and sends the message to the client application via the dedicated instance of the server connection channel. Okay? Let's go to page 16. This is the MQ server and a queue manager group. The MQ server can be useful to specify a simple queue manager group, such as a multi-instance queue manager. For example, assuming that queue manager 1 is a multi-instance queue manager in host 1 and host 2, then the client application can automatically reconnect from host 1 to host 2 if host 1 is not active. In this case, to specify that we have two hosts that we need to be able to connect, then the MQ server has to be changed from just host 1 at port 1414 is host 1 port 1414, comma, host 2 port 1414. And you can have comma another host 3 and so on. That will be a connection queue manager group. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay. Up to now, I've been using some traditional samples to put and get messages. There are two variations of each sample, one for bindings and the other for client. Each variation needs a special compilation options. The C source code for the put is MQS put 0.z, and for the get is MQS get 0.z. The first two samples are MQS put a message. This is bindings mode. It can run only on the local host where there is the queue manager. Then the next example is MQS get. It's a get message bindings mode. The next two, they follow the name convention that with a C at the end, indicating that this is a client connection instead of bindings connection. And then they do the same. They get a message, but it's in client mode. These samples are located in Windows. The executables are in that name, ending in bin. And the source code is in the samples directory. In Unix, is samp/bin, and Unix, the source is just samp. You're welcome to take a look at these examples, and you can compile them and so on and experiment with them. Next page, please. Slide 18. Now, those examples in the previous slide, are just very basic, and they will be able to reconnect, but they will not give you additional information. For example, when, I'm asked to disconnect, now I'm reconnecting, I'm connected. You would like to see that information. Well, for that purpose, there are a few samples called the high availability sample programs, and you can do additional tests with them, and these are the ones that I will be mentioning also in most of the scenarios, because when you can put a message, for example, with the MQS PHAC, and then if there is a disconnect, you will see a line there saying disconnecting. But it still is going to try to reconnect to the next queue manager in the group. And then eventually says reconnecting, and then eventually you will see connection happen and put in more messages, which is very nice. In that way, you will see better what's going on underneath in the samples. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 19. Now, let's continue to build up on this scenario by having multiple get client applications in host 2, application 1, and application 2. Well, we could use a separate MQ server for each of these applications, assuming that each application is being run by a different user ID. Then, for example, in application 1, user ID 1, will have in their profile the MQ server. For application 2, in the profile of the user ID, there will be the MQ server. Well, what happens if the queue manager or the port number changes for the queue manager? Then you will have to go to each instance of the MQ server in the different profiles for the different user IDs and then update it. Well, it seems that when we just have two applications, it will not be really cumbersome to modify two profiles. But I think you get idea because let's extrapolate and let's imagine 50 different applications. then changing 50 profiles could become cumbersome. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 20, multiple clients using client connection. This diagram is an extension of the previous one with addition of another queue on the left and addition of another application on the right side. Now, let's assume that each application has its own MQ server variable pointing to the same queue manager, host name and port number. Each client, when reaching the listener for the queue manager, will have a dedicated instance of the server connection channel, server con 1, and each application will be able to retrieve messages from the queue manager. Again, having only two applications may not give a real sense of the problem, but let's imagine that there are, instead of two, we have 50. I think that you will comprehend that, wow, I don't want to change 50 times the MQ server in 50 different profiles. One way to address this situation is by providing a central location where the connection data can be found by the MQ applications. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 21. To centralize the configuration of the connections, we can use the client configuration file. The default name is mqclient.ini, and this was introduced in MQ version 7. The mqclient.ini has many other functions. One of the functions is to provide the queue manager groups by means of something called the channels stanza. And this is an example. We have channels column, and the next line is def recon, which when you say yes, allows for automatic reconnection. And then we have the final parameter is the server connection params equals, and it looks like the MQ server, the server connection channel, /TCP/host1, and the port number. Let's go to the next page, please. In slide 22, we have now multiple clients using the mqclient.ini. This picture has only one difference with regard to the previous picture. The right side illustrates the use of the mqclient.ini file that is residing in the same host. The two applications open this mqclient.ini and get the connection data. Notice the channel stanza, in this case, is server.con /TCP/host1/1414, and again, the two applications will connect through the listener to the MQ, the queue manager, and they get messages from them. Each application will have its own instance of the server connection channel. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 23. If the MQ server environment variable is set, then it supersedes the mqclient.ini. If you want to use the mqclient.ini after you were playing with the MQ server, then you need to unset the MQ server. This is how you can unset the variables. In Windows, you do set space MQ server equals nothing else. In Unix, you use the command unset space MQ server. If there is a channel stanza in the mqclient.ini, then it supersedes the last method, which is the ccdt. This is an important point to take into account when you're experimenting with these connection methods. For example, you start with the MQ server and use the samples and things are working fine. Then you modify the mqclient.ini and specify another queue manager. And when you run the sample, you notice that the old queue manager is being used and say, hey, and many customers think that they made a mistake with the mqclient.ini and open the file again and make modifications, close the file, retry the samples, and same error continues to happen. This could be very frustrating. Then when you are experimenting with different methods, ensure to keep in mind the precedents and ensure to unset the variables that could remove the method that you are going to experiment with. Okay, let's go to page, next page, please, page 24. You could have multiple client configuration files with different names or different locations. You can use the following environment variable to specify which file to use, mqclntcf, for client connection configuration file. The format is a full URL. This means that the file name might not necessarily be mq.clientini, and facilitates placing the file on a network-attached file system. Go to the next page, please. Page 25. Similar to the MQ server, the MQ client that I can be configured for simple queue manager groups, such as a multi-instance queue manager. It's highlighted here in the last line that there are two hosts, host 1 at port 1414, host 2 at port 1414. That's the way you can specify multi-instance queue managers using the MQ client.ini. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 26. CCDT file. Let's add more complexities to this scenario. You want to have multiple GET client applications located in multiple servers. You like some of the reasons mentioned in page 6. You want a centralized location to administer the configuration artifact. You could use an MQ client.ini in a network drive and use the variable MQCLTCS. However, there are more functions in the CCDT that are not available in the MQ client.ini, such as the connection balancing. Let's go to the next page, please. The CCDT file. Finally, we are reaching the star player for this presentation. To address the issues presented in the previous slide, you can use an MQ client channel definition table, or CCDT. Its purpose is to determine the channel definitions used by client applications to connect to the queue manager. There are two options on where to place this file. Option A, the same host as the client. This option suffers of the multiple copies problem. If you have 10 hosts and each one has the same copy of the CCDT, 10 copies in total, then if you alter the CCDT, you will need to copy the updated CCDT file 10 times, one for each host. Maybe that's not a good idea. Then you can use option B, which is to avoid this, the problem. You can place the CCDT file on a network drive. In that way, you have a single shared copy of the file. Let's see the next two slides for topologies. Next slide, please. Slide 28. In this case, this figure illustrates the situation when each host has its own copy of the CCDT file. Again, imagine that instead of just host 2 and host 3, we have host 2 and to host 50 of those ones. You don't want to have 50 different files of CCDTs. Then let's go to the next page, please, and let's illustrate. Page 29 illustrates the use of the network file, CCDT, a single copy that is accessed by all these hosts. Let's go to the next page, please. Slide 30. The CCDT file is created when the queue manager is created. That's it. It's not possible to regenerate it from scratch. The only way is to copy another CCDT from another queue manager and replace it, or delete the queue manager and recreate the queue manager. That's it. Now, by default, the CCDT file has only one entry, which is a client connection channel that is called system.dev.clientcon. This is an important warning. Do not delete the CCDT file because it is not regenerated by the queue manager. This file is a binary file. It is not human readable. You could have an idea if you just do a cat. There will be some things that you can recognize, but in general, you will not be able to decipher too much. Let's go to page 31. The CCDT file is updated by the queue manager in two situations. One, when the client connection channels are added when you use, for example, the define channel command in run MQAC, or when you use the MQ Explorer, or when the definitions are altered when you use the alter channel command. One important note is that the queue manager does not read the CCDT file, okay? And that is, you cannot import client definitions from a CCDT into a queue manager. For example, you have in queue manager 2 a CCDT file, you like all this stuff, and you say, well, I want to have that in queue manager 1, you copy the CCDT file from 2 to 1, and then you want those client definitions magically updated into queue manager 1. That's not possible via the CCDT, okay? The CCDT file is just write only. I mean, the queue manager doesn't read from it. I just write only. Next page, please. Let's go to page 32. Because of the reasons in the previous two slides, it is recommended that you either generate a new CCDT from a queue manager that is dedicated only for the creation and maintenance of the CCDT, or, option B, you use a support pack M072, which is explained later in this presentation. If there is a considerable editing of the CCDT, then this file just keeps growing bigger and bigger over time, since there is no garbage collection and no reset to regenerate a new file via Run MQSC or the MQ Explorer. Let's go to the next page, please. Connection balancing, page 33. The CCDTs in this presentation were created with the default values for the client connection channels for the following attributes: affinity, preferred, and client weight 0. The default behavior is that there is no connection balancing and that the MQ client will choose the first channel name that is active from the list of channels in alphabetical order of the channel name. If you want to have a certain level of connection balancing, you will need to alter the following attributes for the channels in the CCDT, for example, affinity none and client weight 1. For more information, go to the next slide. Let's go to slide 34. And there are some links with more information about the affinity and the client weight. One important note of clarification on terminology, the CCDT does not offer load balancing. It offers some connection balancing. And for distributing the load, you can use MQ clusters, which have a very comprehensive algorithm for workload management. Next page, please. Page 35. Scenarios for queue manager groups using CCDT. The rest of this presentation will discuss the following six scenarios for using CCDT for queue manager groups. The first one is the simplest case. It's using the same QM name for a single queue manager, for example, queue manager 3 in host 1. The second scenario is again very simple. It's just a variation on the first one, in which the host is renamed from host 1 to host 2. Very simple. The third one is still simple, really. It is a multi-instance queue manager. Again, we have two hosts. One has the active instance, and the other has the standby instance. Everybody is connected to the active instance. Now the active instance does a switch over to the standby instance. Now you want the client to be able to reconnect to that second host. The fourth scenario, and this is a little bit difficult maybe to understand, and I think with given examples will be easier to grasp their meaning. It's something called the default group, in which the QM name field for the client connections has a single space, a blank character. The scenario number 5 is, again, QM name has a blank character. However, the application uses an asterisk for the default group. I'll explain you the subtle differences between them. The last example is the most comprehensive one. It's about the full queue manager group, in which you specify an asterisk following by the name of the queue manager group. Let's go to the next page, please. Those six scenarios fit into four categories of queue manager groups, and this slide is just given as a summary, and each one of these categories will be better explained when there is more context and there is a feature that you can associate things. Again, this is just a summary. Let's go to page 37. Sorry. Okay, let's start with the simplest case. And we are going to use a single queue manager. It's called QM3, and it's going to be located in host 1. The queue manager group, which is the QM name field in the CCDT for the client connection channel, has the three characters, QM3. The application, such as MQS put high availability, will use those three characters, QM3. Then that's a sample put invocation, okay? Now, let's go to the figure and the footer. On the left side, we have that the client application is using QM3. This is really what goes into the MQCon. And that value, QM3, is passed as the QM name to the MQ client libraries, runtime libraries, that will look at the CCDT. Okay? Then let's go into the middle. In the middle, that's a representation of the key manager group in the CCDT. And this is the field name, QM name, and the value is QM3. Then when we go into that table, we do a search on the QM name, and we find the QM3 is associated with a channel and a host name. Then we retrieve that channel, in this case it's CCC3. It is passed to the client application, and the client application says, oh, I can connect now to the queue manager QM3 in host 1. Okay, that's the meaning. Let's do it one more time because this is an important concept to understand. On the left side, we have the client application, passes the queue manager name, and the client application really doesn't go directly into the CCDT. The client application talks to the NQ runtime libraries. The runtime libraries are the ones who are going to find the CCDT, and they are going to do a search in the CCDT, and they search for QM name. They find an entry, and they return to the application the channel name and the queue manager name and port number. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Page 38. Okay. Creating channels via RunMQSC. There is only, I think that by having these full commands, hopefully you will understand what is inside the CCDT. Now, there is only one entry for this scenario in the CCDT, and that name, that entry will have a QM name equals to QM3. Now, in the second part of the middle of this slide, we have the queue manager is called QM3, and the host is AEM-AX1. AEM-AX1, and via client connection channel. And let me just go token by token. Define, it means create a new channel, and the name is CCC3. The channel type is client con for client connection. In the next line is TRP type, means protocol is TCP, and then it's con name for connection name, and that's between quotes is the name of the host, and then between parentheses the port number, end of quotes, and so on. And the last statement is the QM name, which is the queue manager name. Now, in the receiving queue manager, we need to have a corresponding server connection channel. The channel name must be the same, CCC3, and this time the channel type is servercon. And again, it has to be a TCP/IP channel. Then we create two things. One is a client connection channel and a server connection channel. Both of them need to have the same name. And the client connection channel needs to have two more things. One is the connection name. What is the queue manager I'm trying to reach? And also, what is the queue manager name group, QM name? Okay. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 39. Now, let me just, I know that some members in the audience right now are novice to MQ, and some members are also very advanced users, but for the benefit of the novice, this is how you can run the RunMQSC command. You specify the queue manager name, and there is no prompt. Once you get there, you don't get any kind of prompt or cursor to tell you what to type, and then you type define channel CC3, channel type con. Notice the plus sign. The plus sign is an indicator that you will continue the command in the next line. You have not finished yet with the command. Then you type TRT type connection name, command name. And then when you type the enter, now the RunMQSC will execute the whole command. That's it for the client channel. Then you do the same thing for the server connection channel, and if you want to end, you type the word end. No quit, no exit. It has to be END, end. And it could be lowercase, uppercase. Whatever is inside the single quotes is case sensitive. The rest is not really. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 40. Now, the examples in this presentation are short and simple. However, if you have to create dozens of channels, it could be very cumbersome to type each channel by hand when manually interacting with RunMQSC or when using the MQ Explorer. Okay, which is covered in the next session. Instead, you could create a text file with all the desired channel definitions and then invoke RunMQSC to use the entries of that file. This file is known as the MQ script command, MQSC, and a good practice is to use the suffix for the file name as .mqsc in lowercase. You can run the MQSC script by redirecting the input and capturing the output into another file. For example, run MQSC, you manage name, then you redirect in the file name .mqsc, this is the file with the commands, and then you redirect out a file name .out where you can see if there were any syntax errors or things like that. Inside the file, you can use an asterisk in the first column to indicate a comment. In that way, sometimes some entries could be a little bit cryptic, and that will help you to remind what is the purpose of that. And also, in case that you need to rerun the script, it's a good practice to use the replace token as shown at the bottom and the last sentence on the right side, which is when you use define object and replace, if the object doesn't exist, then it will be created. If the object exists, then it will be replaced, which is a nice option. Next page, please, page 41. The next few slides will show you how to create the channels via the MQ Explorer. You log in as an MQ administrator. You start the MQ Explorer. Under the desired queue manager, you do right-click, and then you select channels, client connections, new, and then choose the client connection channel. Let's go to the next page, please. And then you specify the name, like SECC3 here. It must match the server connection channel. Then you click next. Let's go to the next page, please. Then you enter the queue manager name. Well, actually, even though this says queue manager name, it is really, I would like for you to think that it is the queue manager group. That will help to clarify many of the things. Then don't read just queue manager name, read queue manager group name, okay, when you are looking at this screen. Then you enter the connection name, like host name, parentheses, port number, and then click on finish. Let's go to the next page. Now, let's do the corresponding. Let's create a server connection channel. You do the same thing. You select under the desired queue manager channels, new server connection channel. Let's go to the next page, please. It's page 45. Then you enter the name of the channel, which must match the client connection name, like a CCC3, and then you click finish. Okay. And let's go to the next page. And says, oh, okay. Well, I have done these things, and I understand that whenever I create a client connection channel, an entry will be added to the CCDT file. Well, where is that CCDT file, and what is the name? Okay. Well, the CCDT file is named mqclchl.tab for a table of client channels, and it is located in Windows under the queue manager's directory, under queue manager name, and then at IPCC. Same thing in Unix. Let's go to the next page, page 47. Okay, now that I have created a client connection channel table, what should I do next? Well, you need to copy this binary CCDT file from the location of the local host into a designated location in the remote host or network drive, and you need to transfer this file as binary. If you transfer as ASCII, which is the default by some FTP protocols, then it will arrive corrupted. In this scenario, the remote location of the MQ client application will find where the CCDT file will be located is /var/nqn/directory/ccdt/files. Okay? Let's go to the next page, page 48. Okay, I have copied the binary file into my target host. Well, how do I tell the application where to find the CCDT file? Well, there are two environment variables that will assist you to locate the file. One is called mqchllib, which is the full path of the directory. It does not include the name, okay? The next variable is mqcltab, which is the file name. Then the full file path is the combination of those two variables in that order. Now, the default value for mqcltab is the one that I mentioned, mqlclchl.tab, And most of the time, people keep that name. Thus, in practice, you really need to specify only the MQCHLLIB, the directory, the full directory name, not including the file name. Let's go to the next page, please, page 49. This is an example. And this is the location for Unix and Windows, and the full path will be var nqm ccdt files mqclclh.tab. Why? Because we are using the default name for the file name. Let's go to page 50, please. The use of the client channel definition table is the last method to be considered in the order of precedence. Thus, if NQ server or NQCLTCF for the NQ client.ini are defined, then the ccdt file will not be used. Therefore, you will need to unset these variables. Okay? And again, we have encountered situations in which customers start experimenting with NQ server and the NQ client.ini. They forget to unset them, but then they go to the ccdt, create the ccdt. It seems that it's not working. They go back to the ccdt, and they had a good ccdt. Now they start just experimenting with lots of changes, and nothing seems to be happening at runtime. And most likely is because you have the set up the other variables. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 51. The steps in this slide describe the numeric steps shown in the next slide. Okay? The contents of the QManager parameter of the MQCon or connects determines which QManager the client connects to. And the ccdt file is accessed by the MQ client to determine the channel application will use. And in this simplest case is the following. I will repeat these steps with the next feature. Okay? Number one. Actually, let's go to the next page, and I will tell, instead of telling you the steps. Okay, I will read you the steps. Number one, the application specifies the QManager name as QM3. Okay, that's the QManager one. Really, the application doesn't talk directly to the ccdt file. The application talks to the MQ client runtime. The MQ client runtime is the one that says, okay, I have both environments, NQCHLib and the tab, and with those two variables, I can find the full path name of the ccdt file and find it. Then step number three, the client runtime code queries the ccdt file and says, hey, I was passed the QManager name of QM3, give me any connection data. And the ccdt file will return the channel ccc3 with connection name of AIX1 with 1451. And then the runtime client will pass that information, the channel name and the connection name, back to the application, and QSGetC in this case. And then the application says, oh, I know where to go. Then it issues the actual connection now. And using number five, the client connection channel ccc3. And then number six is it connects with the server connection channel ccc3 and then makes the full connection, and now the message can go from the QManager to the client. Let's go to the next page, please, page 53. Now, let's talk about an interesting problem. Your company may have several ccdt files with different names and for different purposes, and you're asked to maintain those ccdt files, or you're asked to use one of them. But you want to be certain that the contents has the appropriate entries that your application needs. Well, this is the question. How do you look at the contents of the ccdt files to verify that they have the desired data? Okay? The answer, you cannot use runmqac. Wow. Well, yes, you can do it, but only on the QManager name, the QManager that was used to create that ccdt. But if you have 10 different ccdt files, then it means that you will have to go to 10 different QManagers and you need to find out which one is this. A better option, I think, is option number two, which is the support pack MO72. And let's talk more about that in the next page, please. Okay, to view the contents of the ccdt, this is page 54, you can use that MO72 support pack. It provides a utility called MQSC. This is a command line tool for issuing MQSC commands to a QManager or client. It is very similar to the runmqac command. Note, this is a Category 2 support pack, which is provided in good faith and as is. It is not supported by the MQ support team. Next page, please. Page 55. There are a couple important notes that you need to keep in mind when using this tool. Let's assume that you downloaded the tool into a dedicated directory, and you change to the directory where you downloaded the tool. In Unix, you must give execution permission. Let's go to the next page, page 56. And then here are the gotchas, okay? You need to specify the minus N option in order to say that this is client mode, I'm going to read as CCDT. And then with the minus T flag, you have to provide a full path that must end with a file separator, with a slash, okay? You must end the string. I'm showing the middle of this slide what happens when you do not provide the slash at the end. You will get an error called current channel table file not found, and then you will get really confused. Then, because it's not telling you the whole truth, unfortunately. But then it's just telling you it's not found. But, yeah, it is there. It's just that it's not adding the tool doesn't add the slash for you, okay? And then the correct usage is you must specify the slash at the end. Then you will have a little prompt that is like the greater than equal, the greater than. Go to the next page, please, page 57. And now you can enter commands such as display channel between with asterisk. In that way, you will have all the channels that are listed, which is nice. And also, you can display the version of the CCDT. This is an important information because you can have a CCDT file that was created with a QManager version 5.3, another QManager version 6 or version 7, and with this command, you can find out which is the version of the QManager that was used to create a CCDT file. This is going to be explained in a few slides later. Next page, please. Oh, 58, page 50. By the way, that tool can be used also to edit, create, or alter client connection channels, okay? Now, in this scenario 2 in page 58, it is similar as the previous one. We are just renaming the host. Instead of host 1, it's called host 2. We are using exactly the same. And the same invocation, the same things. Then let's go to the next page, please, slide 59. And there is only one entry in the CDT that has to change, which is the QM name, QM3. And instead of the host 1, we use host 2, and we can use the replace. You can use the alter channel or define channel with the replace option, okay? I like to use the define replace and so on in my text files. In that way, when I'm experimenting with these things, I just run MQC with these files. And with the replace option, it gives me a lot of flexibility. Let's go to page 60, please. Okay, and this is just what happened in the connection name. We don't have to change the application at all. We don't have to change how the application is invoked. The only thing that we have to change is the CCDT file. It provides a good shielding of that information changes. One thing that you have to keep in mind is after you modify the CCDT, you must copy that file into the target directory. It is not magically quantum leaped copied from one host to another. You have to manually copy it. Now, you can put it into a network file location, and that way it will be read. Let's go to the next page, please, page 61. Let's go to the next scenario, which is a multiple instance queue manager. Now, the QManager group, in this case in the CCDT, will be QMMII, like QManager Multi-Instance Number 1. The application uses exactly the same name. It's still the same as in Scenario 1 and Scenario 2. This is the same idea. And the sample pull invocation is using the same as 1 or 2. The only difference is that in the conceptual diagram, we have now two hosts. We have the same channel name, CCC1, and but two hosts. Okay, let's go to the next page, page 62, to see how we can create that entry. What we are doing is we can have multiple entries for host and port under the con name attribute. In this case, it's Veracruz 1421, comma, Sea Beach 1421. Okay, now what we need to do is we have to define the server connection channel, CCC1 in the queue manager. And at runtime, we just specify the name of the queue manager. And even though there are two boxes in the figure, really there is only one active at a time, which makes things easier. Let's go to the next page, please, page 63. This is scenarios 4 and 5 are very similar. They deal with something called a default group. And this is the default group is identified with a blank character in the QM name field. And let me explain you a little bit what are the differences. In scenario 4, the queue manager group is a single character, and the application uses a single character, blank character. Then it's blank character, the name of the group, and blank character is the client application with the MCON. And now the space itself doesn't really work very well with sample applications that read from the screen, from the console. Then it is difficult to kind of experiment with that. What you can do is in the MQCon name itself, in the variables that can be replaced, that's where you can put the single blank. And then what happens is this, when you invoke with a single blank, and the group is a single blank, which is represented in the middle, now we can have three different channels, default A, default B, default C, talking to each different queue managers. The order of resolution is alphabetical order. In this case, will be default.A. That's the one. If it's active, that's the one that is going to be used. Okay? And what on the footer at the bottom of this slide, the last portion of it, it has three question marks. What really means is we don't care the name of the queue manager. Okay? The actual queue manager is not relevant. We just want to connect to one of those queue managers in the group. Let's go to page 64, please. Page 64, and this is how you define the queue name. It has to have one blank. There are three entries. Let's go to the next page, 65. One thing that you have to keep in mind is that in each one of those hosts that is mentioned, you have to create a server connection channel that has the same name. Like for Veracruz, you have to use default.A. For AMH1, you have to have default.B. For AMTux1, you have to have default.C. In each one of the queue managers. Next page, please. Page 66. And this scenario illustrates the use of the default group. And by convention, the client channel definition, a blank queue name, signifies that the default queue manager group, it is going to be used. And the default group is different to a default queue manager. Although an application uses a blank queue manager name parameter to connect to either the default queue manager group or the default queue manager, but the concept of a default queue manager group is only relevant to a client application, the one that connects through TCP/IP on the network, and a default queue manager group is only applicable to a server application which uses bindings. Go to page 67. Okay, this is a variation of the scenario 5. This is a variation of scenario 4, in which still we use the queue manager group with one blank. That's the CCDT. It hasn't changed. Okay, but the application uses an asterisk, which is suitable for consumption by samples. Then in this case, I can put the sample put invocation in QSPHAC Q1 and space asterisk. The asterisk means I don't care what is the name of the queue manager, okay? I just want something from the default group, and in this case, it will be default A, B, or C. Those are the channels for the different groups. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 68. The CCDT is exactly the same as the scenario 4, okay? But again, the application is using an asterisk. And for this scenario, let me show you the sequence. We have those three queue managers running, QM1, QM3, and QM4. Then we invoke the sample. And we use the asterisk, and it's going to be in alphabetical order, the channels. Then the table is going to find that default.A is first in the alphabetical order, and that's the one that returns to application. The application will connect to host QM1 in Veracruz. Now, let's suppose that QM1 in Veracruz is terminated. Now, the queue manager will say, the client will say, I need to reconnect. And it tells the CCDT, find me the next channel name. It's going to be in alphabetical order. It will be default B. Therefore, QM3 in AMX1 is the one that is going to be used. and it terminates, then it has to, oh, let me go to the next channel. It will be QM4 in AM.1. Okay, let's go to the next channel, page 69. The last scenario is the most comprehensive one, which is the, it's not the default group. You specify a name, like a QM group 1. Then the application uses that name, but is using an asterisk before, okay? That is asterisk QM group 1. Then what happens is that it's very similar to the previous one, that instead of using the default queue manager group, it's going to use the group QM group 1, and it's going to, there are going to be two channels, a QM group 1.A and QM group 1.B, and it's going to be chosen in alphabetical order. Let's go to page 70. And this is the examples of the commands that will create those channels. And again, for the server connection, you have to go to each particular queue manager that is going to be having the queue and part of the queue manager group and create the server connection channel. And let's go to page 71. And choosing the channel at runtime, the order of connection is the same. It's going to be in alphabetical order of the channel name. And the queue manager name itself is not relevant. You have defined different queue managers with different queue names under a single queue manager group, and they are indexed by channel name, and the channel name is alphabetical order. Okay? Let's go to page 72. What happens when the asterisk is not used? Well, if you don't use the asterisk when you invoke it, it's not going to talk to a queue manager group. The application thinks that it's going to talk to a queue manager called queue manager group 1, which doesn't exist, and therefore it's going to give you an error like a 2058 queue manager name error. Let's go to page 73. Now, that's the end of the scenarios, and the next few slides I'm going to talk something about compatibility. The CCDT file has changed from version 5.3, has changed to version 6, has changed to version 7. Older clients must continue to use their existing CCDTs at their own level. The older clients do not understand the new changes that were added in recent CCDTs. However, the newer clients are able to understand older CCDTs. Therefore, if you have a combination of different, like a version 6 and version 7 in the same network, you must use the CCDT at version 6 because the version 6 clients will understand, version 7 clients are able to understand version 6. But if you try to use a version 7 CCDT, the version 6 clients will not understand it and they will fail. Okay? Let's go to the next page, 74. Sorry that I'm rushing a little bit. Now, one thing that you have the problem is, okay, I have 20 of these CCDT files, some are 5.3 and 6 and 7, and how do I maintain them? Well, you have to use the oldest queue manager in your network, like a 5.3, in order to maintain 5.3 CCDTs, okay? Or you can use the support pack that I mentioned, and you can specify the option dash V and something, like a 6.0. In that way, you can create files, client connections or editing, and it will respect the proper version information. Let's go to page 75, please. Now, let's switch gears a little bit to a JMS. In version 6 of MQ, a new JMS attribute was introduced, and it's called the CCDT URL, and it can be specified in a connection factory like another JMS attribute. Next page, please, 76. And the format is something called the file protocol, and it could be a little bit complex. Well, not too much complex, but a little bit difficult to understand. Then I'm including a link there from the Wikipedia where you can find exactly what to use. If it's in the local system, I use just 3 slashes. File column, 3 slashes, the directory, and so on. Okay? Let's go to the next page, and this is an excerpt from the WASP admin console, and it tells you exactly what to do when the queue manager is located in the same as WASP, and you want to use the CCDT table from that queue manager. And let's go to page 78. And this is a note about tracing, just to see if you are confused about where the connection data is coming from, the MQ server, the CCDT, MQ client, .ini, etc. Page 79, please. And the next pages are including, just have more reference information. And I think this is the end of the presentation. I would like to pass the control back to Joseph. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
We have no questions on the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. I do see a question here that have populated in the group chat, and the question is, how does MQClient.ini file work with MQSSL, specifically related to two-way authentication?
The CCDT file, I know that I'm going to use a slightly different angle here. Sorry, the MQ server is a minimum channel and doesn't allow you to provide any specifications on SSL. The CCDT file, on the other hand, contains a lot of fields that help you to customize the client connection channel. Among them is also for SSL. And the MQClient.ini has also some stances for SSL. And the client connection channel, either from the MQClient.ini or from the CCDT, will behave like at SSL. Then it has the same configuration things. And the server connection that is going to be used in the queue manager is the one that will have also information about SSL. You have to match both things with SSL, what is the cipher spec, for example, and either if it's one-way authentication or two-way authentication, then the configuration will be used from those files. I'd suggest if you have additional questions, if you can send me an email to rivera@us.ibm.com, and then I can provide to you more details and some examples.
Thank you, Angel. I do see one more question here in the group chat, and I think we have time to take just this last question here. The question is, what is the main difference between scenarios 4 and 5 in CCDT?
Okay, thank you. In the CCDT file, both the scenarios 4 and 5 use the same format. Then when you look at the CCDT file, each entry for the client configuration channel will have a field called QM name with a single blank. It is not empty. It is not two blanks. It's a single blank. Okay. Now, in the scenario 4, the application is going to use the MQCon and specify the single blank. Now, that single blank doesn't work well when you are using samples that are invoked via the line commands. And that's the reason, in a sense, the asterisk with the scenario 5 is involved, because the asterisk will be handled well by the applications that run with the line commands, and then it will be passed to the CCDT, and in a sense, a blank or an asterisk, when it's passed by the MQCon, it is going to be interpreted the same as a default queue manager group, and the CCDT will search only for the blank in the QM name. The CCDT file, if you put the QM name with asterisk, it will not work. It has to be, the definitions have to be with a single blank. The purpose of the default queue manager group is when you say, okay, I don't know the name of the group. I just, if you have defined something, let me know and I will use it when the application is talking to the CCDT. And the purpose of a default queue manager group is like if the other queue managers in your group were not working, then you can say, well, if everything else above fails, at least let me go to the default queue manager group and see if that works.
Thank you, Angel. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.